Well, God, He is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ask or even imagine. And that is so awesome, isn't it? Yes. And isn't it amazing when God does things for us when we don't even expect it? You know, you're kind of going along your routine and flow in which you normally would, and then all of a sudden, boom, God does something, and everything shifts, everything changes. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I love when God is able to do that, and it's just evidence that God is who He says He is, and that He is capable of doing so many great things in our life. And our lives are really not in our hands, but we are in the hands of God, aren't we? At least if we said, "Dear Jesus, come into my life," right? If you said that, then, you know, certainly then you've given Christ your life. And if you have, then that means He is ordering your steps and He is making the way. And He's bringing us through this process of cultivating us and enabling us to be a sound, solid people, a people who reflect Him and people who are like Him. In fact, we shall be like Him in the end, the scripture says. But we don't know what that ultimately will be, but we know that we will be like Him. And that is the awesome thing about serving God. It's like a mystery. There's mystique involved. Yet at the same time, there's revelation. And God shows us things. He reveals things to us. He enables us and He teaches us. And that is what achieving our greatest potential is all about. We are moving. We are transitioning. We are being molded. We're being shaped, not just randomly. We're not just who we are, and it's not just the way it's always going to be. But no, we are a people in transition. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. We are being molded and shaped. The way we are today is not the way we stay. We are progressing. We are getting better. We are increasing. We are becoming greater. And that's what God is doing in our lives. He's increasing and he's raising us up so that we can have power and strength. And this month we start a new theme, The Rock. And that is what God is doing in our lives. He's helping us and He's enabling us to experience Him, to become like Him. God is the rock in Scripture. And if God is the rock in Scripture, and we are ultimately to become like Him, what does that say about us? That we too must become rocks. We too must become foundations in which others can stand on, in which we are able to represent the kingdom of God. Have you ever known a kingdom that did not have buildings, that did not have people standing together? But that's what a kingdom does. A kingdom enables us to stand together, and we represent the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And that is Jesus, our Lord. It is Jesus who we represent, who we are to become ultimately like. And so as we look at the scriptures here today, we're going to kind of use as our foundation verse here Psalm 78:35. And it says, "And they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer." And so here is the psalmist saying that when you remember who God is, it ought to give you confidence. It ought to give you the ability to stand. No matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what the challenges that you face, you stand in the midst of God. And God is who we stand on. We stand on Him. We stand in His presence. We stand with Him. He is in the midst of every aspect of our lives. We must just remember to look down and see where we're standing. When you look down to see where you're standing, then you'll know how much of an adjustment you need to make until you get on the rock. And to make sure that what you're standing on is rock, and that it is the very Word of God, the very principles of God, the essence of who God is. And so, as we stand in the midst of God and we experience God, we are moving toward this progression of becoming like Him.
Christ is our rock. Jesus
is the very rock of our salvation. And we are becoming like him so that we might be solid. We might be a people who are able to be cornerstones, if you will, or a type of cornerstones. You know, in a building, there are many corners. There is the initial corner that is used to establish the foundation and the layout and making sure everything is in alignment. And then from there on, each corner after that follows the progression of the initial corner and aligns itself with the initial corner so that everything in between can be filled in straightway and correctly. And that's what God is doing in our lives. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. But even as we arise and become like him, we become corners, if you will. We become pillars, if you will, that those who are in the world might experience God and come to know him. And as people come to know God through you and I, they align themselves with Christ as they see us model the reflection. And so we model the cornerstone of Christ's likeness so that other people can see, so that they too will know how to pattern their lives. And this is why it is so critical, so important to align yourself with people who are aligned with the chief cornerstone. Amen. Because if you don't, you're going to be a little off. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a little crooked. You're going to have a little bit of issues here and there, because the very people that you're aligning yourself with are not people that are aligned correctly. And this happens very often in the body of Christ. And so God knows this, and he understands this way that we have as human beings, that we're all just a little off, and we need to be realigned. And so God says, well, you're going to have to go through something. You're going to have to go through the process in order for you to know that your alignment is off. So often, people think that they're okay when they're a little off. I can't tell you how many people say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just fine. And deep down in your heart, you're going, oh, no, you're not fine. There's something wrong. You're just not seeing it. You're not able to recognize it, and you don't realize it. And so often, it is the people who are a little off. They don't see that they're a little off. They think that they're in alignment. But I can assure you that once you get in alignment and you see everything the way it's supposed to be, then you'll see other people begin to align themselves in your life as well. This principle is established in the fact that the Word of God says that thou shalt be saved and your whole house. It's a principle of alignment. It's the understanding that when you genuinely align yourself correctly at home, everything and everyone in your house will also be transformed. They too will begin to change. They too will experience God. And you will go through this transition. And as you change, the people around you will change. And the role of every Christian is to impact other people so that they become like Christ. They begin to change in different areas, in the different areas of our lives. And if we are resistant to change, resistant to doing things differently, then we will never become the rock like Jesus. We will never achieve our greatest potential. So the first question you have when you're talking about these kinds of things is, what is it? And so we're talking about rocks today. The question is, well, what is it? What are we talking about? What is a rock? Well, we all know what rocks are generally, right? We kind of know. I have this definition here that a rock is a naturally occurring solid mixture of one or more minerals or organic matter. And I thought that was interesting, that it's made out of minerals and organic matter. That's the same things that we're made out of. The people are made out of the very same thing. In fact, the Bible says that you will turn to dust. Your body will go back to the dust of the earth. Now, those are minerals and organic matter. You will go back into the ground. And as we examine this process of becoming a rock, it tells us that rocks are classified how they are formed, or their composition and texture, and that they change over time. And so what does that mean? It tells us that rocks don't just exist, but they are made to be, just like the people of God. You and I are made to become like Christ. We start out like the world, like the people in the world. We have the same mentality. We think the same way. We operate the same way. We respond the same way. We do all the same things that people who have no knowledge of God, no interest in God, no relationship with God do. We do the exact same thing until we are changed. Once we change, then we become different. That change begins with the rebirth through Christ. Isn't that right? Well, when you give your life to Christ, something changes in your spirit. On the inside, you are transformed. Something within you is changed. Your very soul is reborn. You're made new. You're born from above. And now you begin the process of becoming like Christ. You don't instantly become like Christ. You're not instantly able to represent the fruit of the Spirit and all the things that God says that he is. You're not instantly that, but no, you become that over time. We see that in the life of the disciples as Jesus trained them as they walked with him for 3 years, and he demonstrated what the kingdom of God was like and what they were to represent and who they were becoming. They were becoming like Jesus. And you and I today, we go through the same process. And not every Christian is at the same place of transition in their walk with God. And this is the challenging part, because so often, you know, people say, well, I've been in the church for a long time, all these years, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. But it's not about how long you've been in church. It's not about how many things you did in the church. It's not about the positions you've held or what you've done, but it's about where you are in your transitional walk to become like Christ. See, that's what it's all about. It's all about this road that we're on. And some people stop along the way and do a little shopping for things that are not quite like Jesus. And sometimes people along the way get a little distracted by some of the other experiences that they pass through along the way, and they're hindered. And there are some people who are gridlocked and stuck in a rut of who they are for years and years and years, and they never get past, because they have not persevered and they have not received the transition that God is working them through. And so again and again and again, we must be looking to God to lead us through. And if we get to a point where our pride or our self-righteousness or our own perspective or our own way begins to cloud the direction in which God is really trying to take us, we miss God. One of the biggest things any Christian can do is let go. And we've all heard the phrase, right? Let go and let God. Yeah, when you let go and let God, you know, it's really become just one of those things that people say. Well, let go and let God. You know, well, what does that really mean? You know, well, let go and let God, what it really means is don't try to figure out what God is doing. You just let it go. Don't assume you know. Don't you think you have it together. Don't think you know what's going on and what all these things. You don't assume, right? We learned that from Felix Unger years and years ago, decades ago. We don't assume. You're all young, so you don't know what I'm talking about. Few of you know what I'm talking about, right? And so God has called us to be people of assumptions, but people who are able to walk in the ways of God, trusting that those who he has brought into our lives, that those who he has connected us with, those that are around us and among us, are part of this molding process. And we have to submit to that process. We must be able to hear and to see and to perceive what God is saying and what he's doing and allow him to move us through the process. And so there are three basic types of rocks that are formed in the world. We'll get a little lesson here on this because I like to understand things when the Word of God is using terms or talking about things. I like to kind of have at least a basic understanding of what I'm dealing with. And so rocks, we learn, are not something that just come out of nowhere, but they're formed. You know, in this world, everybody's talking about the earth over billions and billions of years and all that stuff. And God says, well, in 7 days. He says, I did it. I did it in a week. And certainly we know that God did it in a week. I'll take that over millions of years. Whenever I hear that, I go, yeah, that's because you don't know. And so here's God saying or showing us that rocks are formed through magma. Do you know magma is the heat that's at the core of the earth? It's the very it's what actually is at the center of the planet where everything kind of comes up. And I started messing with me because I was thinking, well, if magma and all this heat is at the core of the earth, why is it that it's so cold by the time it gets to the top of the surface? And that's because of this level and this working of transformation that's taking place. The earth, if you will, is in the process of making rocks. And that's kind of what God is doing. God is making rocks out of us. He is making us to be rocks, at the very least, stones. And stones are fragments of rock. And so we start out with sedimentary rocks. And sedimentary rocks are the rocks that actually are the little particles and of dirt that over time they're compressed and pressed down and they form into layers. And these rocks become they're kind of like almost like a slate type of rock where they're in layers, and you've seen them. And I was going to do pictures, but I started to realize the more pictures I do, the longer I'm going to take to talk about. So trying to stay in line here. And so this sedimentary rock is in layers, and they're layered rock. And over time, with the heat and the amount of heat that they get, it causes them to react, which forms this rock. Now, this rock is not quite as solid or as strong as the other rocks that we're going to look at. The next type of rock is this igneous type of rock. Now, igneous type of rock is formed through direct heat. You see that formed through like when volcanoes and volcanic rock that comes down. The direct heat of the rock, it fires up these minerals and it fires up these other components that are in the earth. And as the heat hits it, it solidifies and it becomes stronger. The greater the heat and the right combination of minerals, the stronger and the harder the rock becomes. And then the third type of rock is the metamorphic rock. Metamorphic rock is something that I was really impressed with, because metamorphic rock means, you know what metamorphosis means, right? It means it changes. In other words, this type of rock is formed out of another type of rock. Metamorphic rock is made from other rocks. It's rocks turning into rocks. And this transition is powerful, because all of these rocks, as they become more and more solid, and the stronger it is, the more minerals and components have been subjected to the heating process, and the fire is what enables it to be so strong. And so the more heat and the more diversity of material, the stronger the rock becomes. Isn't that amazing? And that is true of us as the people of God. The more you go through the challenges and the difficulties of life, the more you become more of a solid person, a well-rounded person. The more you experience different people and different cultures and different ways of thinking and different perceptions, the more solid of an individual you become, the more you are able to accomplish more, the more you're able to succeed in as you attempt to represent Christ in this world. That's why I really believe that it's so important for us to experience different cultures, to take missions trips, and to get involved in different things that involve different people, different types of people, and coming together and working together. And there's such a huge difference when you're able to relate and work together. It's particularly powerful, especially in a multicultural environment like ours. You know, it's so incredible, to be able to work with people from different nationalities and different racial groups and all of that. And so often, you know, we are in these multiracial environments, but we're not multicultural in our experience. And there is a difference between multiracial and multicultural. And even though there are many multiracial churches that use the name multicultural, they're not really multicultural because they only usually are adapting or focused towards one culture. And so it's not really multicultural. All the other cultures just kind of just go along with it. They just fit in. But true multiculturalism is seen in this metamorphic rock where you see all of the aspects of the sedimentary rocks and the igneous rocks coming together to form this metamorphic rock, this process. And it's all enabled by heat, the fire. And so when you go through the heat or the fire, I remember a couple of years ago, we did a whole series through the summer. We'll never do that again. We talked about the heat and the fire of God. Oh, man, that was probably the roughest summer and the hottest summer we had ever experienced. So now we'll do heat in winter. We'll talk about fire when it's cool outside. But essentially, we go through this process in life where we start out with surface things like sedimentary rock. And those are surface rocks, surface stones and gravel and, you know, dirt and dust. That's all surface. But as it gets compacted down and the heat is applied to it, you know, it starts to change. That's where the igneous kind of rock begins to become formed through the direct heat of like a volcano or of some kind of fire that would arise, even the heat from under the earth that comes up. And so you have the heat from below and the heat from above, and that experience forms rocks over time. And the same thing in the metamorphic rock takes rocks that already exist and molds them and compresses them through the same process of the heat and the fire. And these metamorphic rocks tend to be deeper in the earth, deeper in the ground, closer to the magma and the heat. And that's where we get a lot of the stone that we use as countertops today. We get a lot of those kinds of types of rocks. Those are metamorphic rocks, and they're rocks that are pulled up from the depths of the earth, and you see the patterns in them, don't you? You see the colors in them. You see how strong they are and solid. You know, these are all rocks that have been formed because of the heat and the magma, and it's formed from other rocks. Metamorphic rock, it makes it stronger. And so we as the people of God are becoming like Christ, like God, if you will. We are becoming solid. We are becoming the very people that are like God. God is transitioning us. God is molding us, and he is shaping us. And this is who he is. He is the rock. He is able to endure the fire. He is the God who is formed out of the fire. He is the God who is able to bring forth the pressure and the heat together in order to make us stronger. You and I, when you go through various trials, what does Paul say? He says, count it all joy. Oh, count it all joy. Because that means God is doing something in your life. And he is trying to enable us to become the people that are more like Christ. And we have to be able to endure suffering. We have to be able to take the heat and the pressure and not allow us to ourselves to explode emotionally, because that would destroy the process. But we surrender, we let go, and we let God bring us through. We trust him to bring us through. And so we don't lose our temperature. We don't lose our temper, right? We don't lose our self-control. We don't lose our focus and our ability. A lot of times when people go through challenges and difficulties, they want to quit. They want to throw in the towel. They don't want to live anymore. They don't want to participate anymore. You know, kids don't want to play anymore. They take their toys and they want to go home. Or they want other people to suffer because they're angry, or they're upset and they're mad because they didn't get their juice. Because things didn't go their way, they throw these tantrums that come out by boycotting. I'm not gonna come. I'm not gonna participate. I'm not gonna support. I'm not gonna do. Until you overcome that mentality, you will go through it again and again and again. You will stay in that place in your life. You will never grow beyond that place until you're able to submit to the process. The ultimate submission we see was when Jesus said, he said, you have no authority over me. He said, except that which my Father has given you. He said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. And that's exactly what we must learn how to do. We must learn how to lay our lives down, lay ourselves down, and allow God to see us through the process. And as we let go, if you will, and allow God to bring us through this process, that's when we will be changed. We will become stronger. We will become healthier. We will find ourselves able to accomplish more. We will find ourselves more in alignment where God can use us to fill in with other people in our lives. Ask yourself, how many people have I led to Christ this year? How many people have I led to Christ? How many people have I shared my faith with? How many people have I invested in? Have I looked to try to help them to become more like Christ, to walk in the ways of God? How many people have I invested in? These are questions we all must ask ourselves, because when we stand before God, God isn't gonna hear any excuses. He's gonna say, I brought these people into your life so that you could lead them in, so that you could be an anchor, so that you could be someone they could hold on to, and you could bring them into alignment with the kingdom of God, with the church, with the work of God, the things of God, so that they too would be able to be a part of the foundation in which my kingdom is being built. This is what God is calling us to do, what God is establishing us to do. In Isaiah 30, 28, it says, his breath is like an overflowing torrent, which reaches to the neck, to shake the nations back and forth in a sieve, and to put the jaws of the people, the burden, the bridle, which leads to ruin. He says, you will have songs as in the night, when you keep the festival, and gladness of heart as when one marches to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. This is how we live our lives. When we go through the challenges of life, when the enemy rises up against us, or when we are fighting the good fight of faith, when we are trying to do what God has called us to do, we will be able to sing songs through the process, even in the night, even when the battle finally raged. The idea of singing songs in the night, that means when the battle has ceased, when things have calmed down. Battles generally did not take place at night. They took place during the day. In fact, as soon as the sun came up, boom, here they came. And so at night, you were able to reflect, and you would have songs to sing of how God brought you through. You could sing songs of how, God, you spared me another day. God, you saved me another day. Lord, you enabled me to come through another day. Thank you, Lord. You sing songs. You keep the festivals. That means you honor the remembrance of God. You remember the things that God has done for you in the past. And you have gladness of heart. And that's what enables you to march to the sound of the flute. That means when the call of the battle comes in, you are able to stand with confidence, knowing that God is with you. And you are on your way. You're moving forward. Because when the flute played, that means you are marching cadence. Right? And so the army is marching along because that means they're able to march at peace. They're on their way to their next location. And we go through life singing and rejoicing unto the Lord because God is our rock. We are standing upon him. We are walking with him. We are established in him. In Isaiah 44, he says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. There is no God beside me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. God is saying, let me see your history. Let me see your story. Oh, are you a God? You claim to be a God? You claim to be someone who is like me? Oh, let me see what you have done over time. Let me see what you have accomplished. He says, my reputation speaks for itself. My history speaks for itself. Look at the nation that I have established and the people that I have raised up and all that I have done. God says, oh, I am the Lord, he says. He says, there's no one like me. And he says, do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Or is there any other rock? I know of none. God says, I know of none. So don't worry about anything. Put your trust in me, he's saying. Put your faith in me. He says, you don't have to tremble or be afraid. You just stand on the rock of God. You trust in the Lord. God is our rock. Have faith in God. Trust in God. Learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. Learn how to look to him, and he will lead you and guide you, enable you to overcome. In Deuteronomy 32, it says, give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, and my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets of the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. Oh, God is so awesome. Yeah, I love this. You know, this is, these people who create these slang words, you know, back in the day used to say, we're going to drop a new album or we're going to drop a new set of tunes. Well, God says, my teaching is going to drop. He said, I'm going to drop some teaching on you. And he said, as the rain, it's going to come down with some rhythmic pattern. God has said, I'm going to lay some teaching on you. He's going to lay some word on you. He said, let me lay my rap on you. Let God drop some word on you, some teaching into your life. And it's going to come down. It's going to shower you like the grass and like the herbs and like the rain. As it comes down, it's going to be your very source of life. It's going to refresh you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to enable you. And you're going to be able to stand strong. You're able to rise up. You ever seen grass after the rain? It stands tall. It stands strong. Flowers after the water comes down, even the dew, it's able to stand. When it's dried up from the heat, they start to lean over, right? Starts to fall over. But once it's been watered, it takes the sun and all of its experience, and it stands tall. You and I can stand tall today. We can stand strong today. Why? Because we're standing on the rock of God. We're standing on the word of truth. On the things of God, we're hearing and we're learning and we're growing in God. Verse 3 says, I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Oh, he is able to be our counselor, isn't he? He is able to advise us and to guide us. He is able to lead us. We're able to stand upon him and to lean upon him. We're able to even build with him because he is our rock. He has endured the pressure of time. He has endured the challenges and the heat of life. The word of God has endured so much. We know that the Bible is the most challenged book in history. It has been contested and attempted to have been destroyed in every century, in every culture, wars against the truth and the word of God, yet it survives today. Amen. Oh, yes, written by over 40 different writers and over three different continents over a period of over 1,600 years, yet it still is unified with one central theme in the kingdom and the power of God. Flows with fluidity as if spoken with one voice, has survived computer analysis, has survived those cultures that wanted to destroy the very truths of God, where every Bible was brought together and burned and destroyed and sought out. And throughout the world and throughout history, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. But the violent have taken it by force.
Yes.
And God has arisen. God has stood. God has attested through all of these things. He's endured the heat and the fire, and it's only made him stronger. It's only made him more stable, more able to stand, and he has shown himself again and again and again. Daniel says in chapter 2, verse 34, you continue looking until a stone was cut out without hands. And it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Hallelujah. The Lord, he lives. Hallelujah. He lives. That's what it says here in Samuel. David declares. Why? Because no matter what, God is able to stand. Even when the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had raised up in his mind, that was raised up, was brought down by the rock of God. And that was to say that the kingdom of God shall stand. And no matter what man does, no matter what kingdom man tries to establish himself, whether it's nations or whether it's individuals, it doesn't matter. If you try to establish your own way or set yourself up, your kingdom will not stand. It's better to stand on the rock of God. It's better to trust in the Lord, to look to him, to know him, and to allow him to be your very rock, the rock of your salvation. As David says, he said, blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation. It's personal, saints of God. I pray that it's personal for you. Is God your rock? Can you say today, he's my rock? Is he exalted in your life? Is he the rock of your salvation? Is he the one whom you trust? Oh, saints, remember today that God is your rock. And the Most High, your Redeemer. And God will enable you to experience rock formation. You shall be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, you will be made like him. And God will establish himself in your life and you.